Good morning, dear Whitechell Saints. The table has been set. Aaron got us off the ground 2 weeks ago. We taxied down the runway last Sunday, and today we lift off with joy into our adventure through Philippians. So from Philippians chapter 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. What an incredible statement about the profound connection that exists between us as believers, a connection that transcends our individual lives and binds us together in the love of Christ. This morning we are talking about the sweetness of gospel partnerships and what it means. The term koinonia from the original language, probably a term many of you have actually heard before, maybe you're familiar with it. It's often translated in our English Bibles as fellowship, partnership, solidarity. And they're bookends to Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul and believers have koinonia in the advance of the gospel, as we've just read, verse 5 and verse 7. Paul and believers, and by extension us as well, have koinonia in suffering. We see that in chapter 4, verse 14, and in giving and receiving, chapter 4, verse 15. So please note that we're talking about a horizontal level fellowship, a deep connection and bond between Paul and the Philippians this morning. But that horizontal koinonia, that horizontal partnership, that horizontal fellowship is rooted in a vertical koinonia, in gospel advancement with the Father, verse 3 and verse 5. So koinonia, fellowship, solidarity, sweet gospel partnerships is what we're meditating on this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for the gift of life, for the privilege of gathering together as an extension of your church here in this place. We thank you again for your word, that it guides us, that it nourishes us, nourishes our faith, and that it brings us closer to you. Please open your word to our eyes, to our hearts, to our minds, again this morning, as we take flight into this amazing epistle. In your holy name we pray. Amen. As we consider the words of Paul here in these six verses this morning, we find ourselves being drawn into a beautiful testimony of unity and shared purpose. This isn't just a gathering of individuals, but we see the incredibly deep bond, the shared spiritual bond that is formed through the Philippians' shared faith in the gospel along with Paul and Timothy. This is the essence of partnership in the gospel. It is extended to us as well, and it is a connection that goes well beyond surface level connections. You and I know that we all have friendships where we strike it off with someone and realize, hey, we've got common ground and you can have a great conversation. But this morning, the depth of what is here is remarkable. It dives into the depths of shared belief, shared mission, shared love for Jesus Christ. And so when you come to faith in Christ, we don't just believe in him individually. Rather, we end up joining a community of faith, a community of believers. And in this family, we share the same spiritual DNA. We share the same Father, the same Savior that we've sung about, the same Holy Spirit. This shared faith, then, is the foundation of our partnership in the gospel, the foundation of our fellowship. And it is deep and it is rich. Just like Paul in the Philippians, it is what binds us together and what gives us a common purpose and a common mission. As believers, we're not just called to believe in Christ, but we're also called to share his love in this world. The gospel is a good news message. And it's not just a message that sits on the shelf. It's a message that is to be proclaimed and delivered and shared. This was the main thing for Paul. And it was shared with him by the Philippians. Verse 3 again, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Wowzers, Paul. That's amazing. How many people do you have in your life that every time they come to mind, you are praising and thanking God for them? That's a rich, rich treasure if you have that privilege. And I know that for myself, there are friends that the Lord has blessed me with, and when their name comes to mind, it's just full of rich memories of blessing and fun. There's not negative things that come to mind. We get that taste there. I thank my God every time I remember you. Verse 3, verse 4. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. There's one of those remarkable qualifiers. Always. Why? Why so much joy, Paul? When you pray for the Philippians, how can you testify that you always have joy when you are praying for them? Answer, verse 5. Because of your partnership. Because of your fellowship. In the gospel from the first day until now. This mission for the gospel to go forth and to get shared all over the world is not a solo endeavor. It wasn't limited to Paul, even though we could argue that Paul's probably the greatest missionary of all time, next to Jesus Christ himself. It is a team mission. It's a collective effort by many. From the beginning days, shortly after Jesus rose from the dead, right up till now, the mission continues. We are saints, as we looked at last week. We are holy ones who have been devoted to God. And as holy ones, we are co-laborers in the work of God, in the work of the Lord, to spread the good news fragrance of the gospel. This shared mission is another key component of our partnership in the gospel. And I would say with Paul this morning that this is what drives us. This is what motivates us and what gives us our faith, action, and purpose. Our love for Jesus is not just a personal emotion. It's not just some warm fuzzies that we enjoy because now we know that we're saved and we have a future hope of glory. That is certainly true. But it's more than that. It's a shared passion, a shared devotion. Aaron read for us the backstory of Philippians last Sunday from Acts chapter 16. An exciting chapter in the scriptures. And when Paul and his traveling companions arrived there in Philippi, there wasn't even a synagogue for them to go and meet at, which was their traditional custom. They'd go to the synagogue and then hang out with people that they knew they could have spiritual conversations with, that they knew they could share Jesus with. Instead, here at Philippi, we're told that they went down to the riverside, where they supposed that there would be a gathering, be a place of prayer, and there was. There was a gathering, and God worked a miracle of new life on that day, and we are told that Lydia, a businesswoman, was saved. And after her baptism, what did Lydia do? She opened her house and had a hospitality party, and the Philippian church was born. How many converts were added to the young church before Paul left Philippi is not known. But clearly he left a young congregation of believers who became dear, dear partners in the gospel. And he and his companions then made their way to Thessalonica. The Philippians, in turn, regarded Paul with great affection, as can be seen by the fact that from time to time they sent him gifts. And we'll see that in Philippians chapter 4. Paul in 2 Corinthians 8 boasted of the generosity of the Macedonian churches, which included Philippi. So this morning, we are seeing the strong bond that existed between them as they partnered together in the cause of Christ. And so all these years later, from when Paul penned this letter to the Philippian church, we too can acknowledge that our shared love for Christ is what fuels our faith, what inspires our mission, and what binds us together in unity. Our shared love for Jesus is the heart of our partnership in the gospel. It's what makes our faith more than just a set of beliefs on a piece of paper, but rather is a living, breathing, loving relationship with Christ and with each other. This sweet partnership in the gospel included and includes the shared experience of grace. Look at verse 7 again. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. You can see that at the start of this letter, there's just that mutual friendship, that mutual fellowship, this sharing. This isn't the Apostle Paul laying down his credentials and being stiff with a group of people that are being tempted towards a wrong gospel, like is the message of Galatians. Here you just sense this deep love and affection because of the gospel and that shared gospel. The gospel that was at work in Lydia's life and the others who came to faith, and was still at work in Paul and Timothy's as well. As believers, we have all experienced the transformative power of God's grace. And this grace is not just a personal experience, even though it is, but it's also a shared experience, a shared blessing, a shared gift. It's what allows us to step off a plane in some other foreign country of the world, perhaps like Germany, and meet some brothers and sisters and go, I've never met you before, but you love Jesus. And now we're brothers and sisters. Nice to meet you. In a couple weeks, we're going to introduce, we'll have Aaron and Devin come up here and introduce their clan of exchange students that have landed in a foreign country. And Lord willing, they've landed and been able to say, wow, those Canadians, those Manitobans, they were nice, hospitable people. They treated us well. Benny's still smiling. Jan's still smiling. That's good. But we got weeks of tests to still go. I completely lost my place because that was... Gift of grace, shared experience, there we go. The gift of grace experienced through our union with Christ, that's what humbles us, what reminds us of our dependence on God for everything. We're not God, He's God. He's the one that's given us everything that we enjoy. And that's an important thing because that's where our gratitude and thanksgiving comes from as a congregation. And note again, Paul's joy and thanksgiving in the midst of Paul's circumstances. Remember that Aaron reminded us a couple weeks ago that Philippians is one of the prison epistles. We hear it in our text today, the reference to chains. And yet, even though he's in prison, we see this heart of the Apostle Paul brimming with joy and thanksgiving. And so it's so clear that when we read the letter to the Philippians, that Paul's joy isn't derived from his surroundings or his situation, but rather from the fellowship he shares with the Philippians in the gospel. And so joy is a recurring theme in this letter. It's often why it's often called the epistle of joy. Paul's joy isn't a fleeting emotion. Rather, it's a deep-seated delight that is rooted in his relationship with Christ and then also his partnership with the Philippians in the gospel. This joy is evident in his prayers for them, as we've already seen. He doesn't just mention them in prayer. He prays for them with joy. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Verse 8, God can testify. God can testify how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. I hope those words aren't lost on you. It's not. We don't see in our Bibles this, "Hi, Philippians, God told me to write you a letter. I'm so thankful that my God brings me joy when I remember you." Yeah, Eeyore, thank you. I was going to mention Eeyore, and I left Eeyore the notes, but that's exactly it. It's not Eeyore. It's Paul, absolutely overflowing because he knows he's not alone in the spread of the gospel. It's wonderful to stand here this morning and to see Devin and Rachel and Garth and Jenny and Aaron back there who are in vocational ministry at their respective camps. It's like we share a mission and we're in different locations. But at the end of the day, the hope is that people hear the good news of Jesus and then realize, wow, I'm a partner on the team as well. Wherever the Lord takes me. That's amazing. What an amazing testament to the transformative power of the gospel. This joy, it changes our perspectives, our priorities, and our responses. And if you've ever met someone who got saved and started the journey of growth and understanding how the Lord saved them, and you watch how their priorities shift and the joy shifts in this hunger to learn, it's infectious. It's amazing. It's the kind of joy that enables us to experience joy in the midst of trials, to rejoice in the face of adversity, just like Paul did, and to give thanks in all circumstances, because we too are confident that God will complete the work that he's begun in each of us through Jesus. Oh, that we too, as saints of Whiteshell Church, could become the kind of people whose hearts are regularly overflowing with thanksgiving and joy that we see in our passage this morning. And please note that Paul's thanksgiving wasn't mere formality. It wasn't religious duty. It was legit. The dear Philippians were constantly on his mind, and he was so thankful for their partnership. Question for you. How thankful do you think the missionaries that you support, or by extension that we support as a church, are? How thankful are they? How thankful are they for our partnership with them? Do you or do we have the kind of partnership that would echo what we see in these six verses today? That's a humbling question. And I know there's been seasons in my own life where, Lord willing, you know, the missionary on the other end would probably offer some thanksgiving. But I don't necessarily know that I would measure up to what we see in our passage. My youngest sister and her husband and family spent 10 years doing church planting in Thailand. And they have lots of stories. And my sister's a bit of a comedian. And so when she tells her stories and busts into the language, it's amazing. But over their years in Thailand, time and time again as a family, we heard the names Paul and Marcia. And Paul and Marcia, I think for my sister, was like the Philippians for Paul and Timothy. They were constant encouragers, supporters, prayer warriors, blessers, surprised them with visits and gifts and unique trips. And there was this partnership in the gospel that was sweet. And so if I called and asked my sister today, "Bond, would Paul and Marcia be your Philippi?" I think she'd probably say yes, they were. I'm seeing my mom nod, so that's good. There we go. Trust the mom. Moms know. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul thanked God every time he remembered the Philippians, which kind of seems to imply that they were frequently on his mind. And in this passage, the word for thanksgiving is eucharistia, which means gratitude or giving thanks. You can see where the Eucharist comes from, if you're familiar with that language. In 2 Corinthians 9:11, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. These passages highlight the importance and the power of thanksgiving in the life of a believer. In our Philippians passage this morning, this is not just for what the Philippians have done, but for Paul, it's who they are. Who they are in Christ and for their partnership in the gospel. Paul sees their value. He sees their worth. He knows of their contribution to the gospel, and he's deeply grateful for them. His thanksgiving is a reflection of his love for them, his appreciation for them, and his joy in them. It's remarkable. Paul's joy and thanksgiving are not isolated elements. Rather, they are deeply interconnected and mutually reinforcing. And by that, I'm just simply saying his joy fuels his thanksgiving, and his thanksgiving amplifies his joy. What a wonderful cycle to be caught in, rather than the Eeyore-like cycle. Wow! This is amazing. This dynamic interplay between joy and thanksgiving, it's a powerful statement to the impact of the gospel and the beauty of sweet gospel partnerships. And so just to be clear, they are not confined to his relationship with the Philippians. We certainly are seeing it here in these six verses this morning, but this interplay between joy and thanksgiving also extend to his relationship with God and his commitment to the gospel. His joy is rooted in his relationship with Christ, and his thanksgiving is directed to God. His joy and thanksgiving, therefore, are not just personal emotions, but we could say they are also spiritual disciplines that shape his life and ministry. May that reality encourage us to cultivate those same disciplines into our own lives, namely joy and thanksgiving. Our entire series is called Choose Joy as Much as You and I Are Able. Because on one hand, joy is a gift and a byproduct of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. So we can only control so much, but yet we can actively choose joy and thanksgiving. So we turn our attention again to grace and the power of grace and partnership. We find ourselves reflecting on this life-altering truth, the one that we've been celebrating all morning long, namely the cornerstone of our lives being lived worthy of the gospel. The gospel is the greatest gift that you or I can ever receive. It's a message of grace, and this grace, when shared in partnership, becomes a formidable force that can transform lives and communities, as it has done exactly throughout history, nation by nation, corner of this globe to corner of this globe. We could say that the gospel is like a river that flows freely, touching every life it encounters, bringing refreshment, bringing healing, and also transformation. This is the power of grace in partnership, a power that can change the world, and one that is not going away. That's one of the reasons it's so exciting to read the book of Acts, as the message of the gospel of grace touched lives, and new churches and communities of faith were popping up regularly and swiftly. The passage that Candace read for us this morning from Acts 2 is a beautiful snippet of the early church at its best, working out its priorities and bonded in fellowship and in unity around the core of the gospel. Grace, remember, in its simplest form, is God's unmerited favor. It is his love and mercy poured out on us, not because of anything we have done, as Ed said, but because of who he is. This grace, when received, has the power to transform us from the inside out. That's the Romans 12, 1 and 2 metamorphosis reality. As our minds are renewed, it changes our hearts, it changes our minds, and it changes our lives, making us more like Christ. In the words of theologian J.I. Packer, who went home to be with the Lord not too long ago, I had the privilege of sitting under his teaching in close to Vancouver a number of years ago, but he once said, "The grace of God is love freely shown towards guilty sinners, contrary to their merit and indeed in defiance of their demerit. It is God showing goodness to persons who deserve only severity and had no reason to expect anything but severity." This grace, dear Weichel, is not just a theological idea, but it is a truly life-changing reality. It is the power that transforms us, making us new creations in Christ, as Aaron also mentioned 2 weeks ago. Grace not only changes us, but it also equips us to live out our new identity in Christ. I mentioned a number of weeks ago that even though we were officially done our grace sermon series, that you would certainly still hear about grace because it is the main thing. It's the reason we're here. Without God's grace seen and tasted in the gospel, we have nothing. Grace is what gives us the strength we need to overcome sin, the courage to stand up for the truth, and the love to serve others. It is grace that empowers us to live a life that reflects the love and goodness and character of God. Partnership, fellowship in the context of the gospel, as we've seen this morning, is not just about working toward a common goal. At the heart of it is the sharing in the life and mission of Jesus Christ. It is about being part of the body of Christ, the church, with each one playing a vital role in the advancement of the kingdom of God. C.S. Lewis once said, "The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christs, if you will. If they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time." This, dear Weichel, is the essence of partnership in the gospel, to draw others into Christ, to help make them little Christs. When grace and partnership come together, a force of redemptive sweetness is formed and lives are impacted for the glory of God. This is what we see here in these early verses of Philippians. We see the joy and grace and partnership at play, and we see lives that are happily at work for the glory of God's name despite circumstances. And so as we conclude for this morning, let me briefly draw your attention to the verse that's on the cover of your bulletin so that you know that this reality that we've been reflecting on isn't limited to Philippians. This is a verse we touched on briefly before Christmas, 1 Peter 2:9. "But you are a chosen race." Yes, you are, Weichel. "A royal priesthood." Remember that you are royalty when you are in Christ. "A holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." There's the Apostle Peter saying it another way. But there's our marching orders. There's our invitation. There's the joy in sweet gospel partnerships. Folks, we're not just individuals floating around in this world. We're part of something much bigger, something that is divine and beautiful. We're part of a community, a family, a sweet gospel partnership, bound together by the love of Christ and for the love of Christ, so that together we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. This is the partnership we share. It's not just about being on the same team or working together towards the same goal, but it's also about sharing in the grace of God, supporting each other, and growing together in our faith. It is about being there for each other in good times and in bad, in freedom and in chains, in certainty and in doubt, in joy and in grief. And the best part? God's not done with us yet. Verse 6, He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So whatever you're going through, whatever doubts or fears you may have, remember that you're not alone. You are part of a family. Because you're still here, this promise is for you as well. God is not done with you yet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for reminding us of how sweet our partnerships in the gospel can be. Please help us, Lord, to live with your joy and with your thanksgiving evidently at work in our own lives, so that as a congregation of people, we can reflect your love to others. Please help us to be a source of encouragement and support and love and joy for our brothers and sisters in Christ all over this globe, and for those that have stepped out in faith and are serving you in that vocational sense. But yet, Lord, we know as well that we are all ambassadors, as though you are making your appeal through us to be reconciled to God. And so help us in this adventure that we're on to be faithful stewards of your good message of grace, seen and savored in the Savior Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. We give you all the glory, Lord, and pray these things in Jesus' mighty, strong and wonderful and precious name.